Hey everybody, this is Caddy. You are in the Year End Cafe 2025 with my last victim. I mean, my friend Nick Rhodes,
You
who
weren't
has
going to say victim then, were you, Catherine?
I might have said victim. I have a bit of a cold, listeners. I apologize. Nick is a busy bee, as you all know. He's been super busy, so I appreciate him finding time to come into the cafe with me and answer some questions for us. So I won't waste any time, Nicholas. What's the best thing that happened in 2025? Not Duran Duran related, please.
Wow. Well, lots of things happened in 2025. Let's have a think, Catherine. You see, I should have been more prepared, shouldn't I?
I
Well, I did
never.
lots of things. I saw loads of amazing museum shows as ever, and which is my sort of inspiration and creative food. So a lot of things this year, kind of unusual exhibitions for a change, actually. Caravaggio in Rome, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, actually. That was a real thrill. And we all went together as a band, actually, which we don't very often. John and I sometimes go to things. Simon occasionally joins us. Roger rarely joins us. But it was kind of great to be there together, and such a privilege to have been able to see that show, the most Caravaggios in one exhibition that I think, well, I think there's probably ever been. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but that was fun. Lots of other shows. Leonor Finney, I loved at Palazzo Reale in Milan. And also earlier in the year there, I saw the Heuningen-Hyun show, one of my favorite photographers from that period when beautiful things really were beautiful. That was also at Palazzo Reale. There was a lot of
You
special
saw,
things.
if I can interrupt, you saw one while you were on tour, and then one you just went on your own volition to see.
I will go anywhere to see a great exhibition, Catherine. But
I
you know
know
what was
that.
really an important one for us, actually for John and I particularly, as we both attended, was a small exhibition in London by Malcolm Garrett, our fabulous graphic designer and collaborator from the very beginning, who did our first three album covers. He did the Arcadia album cover and all the singles that went with all of them. And this exhibition focused on the singles. And so that was a real exciting night. It was sad in some ways in that Malcolm was unable to attend because he had some health issues at the time. But boy, it was great to see all that stuff together, and what a magnificent design job Malcolm did with us. So John and I loved that.
Were you meant to always go to the exhibit, or did you sort of stand in for him because he was
Oh,
unwell?
no. We were always going to go. I wish Malcolm had been able to attend, but he really couldn't. And I've seen him since. We went together to another exhibition, actually, that's still on in London, of Gerry Anderson's fabulous fab things. And that's at the Museum of Brands in Notting Hill. And Malcolm co-curated that exhibition. So I went with him one day. I'd loaned them a few of my pieces out of the archive, and one of them was my Captain Scarlet hat from when I was a very small kid. So for those of us who still love that design and realize what an incredible impact it had, that show's actually super good. So if you're passing through London, go and have a look.
What other shows did you see? I'm sure there's more than just
Oh
that.
goodness, I mean, loads and loads. Actually, the Dolce and Gabbana show, which
Oh,
I saw in
yeah.
Italy, was also really quite inspired. Super Italian, Sicilian specifically. Their use of religious iconography is fantastic, and the opulence of it was quite extraordinary. So that was fun to see. The year started off with great things too. There was Van Gogh and Francis Bacon at the National Gallery and National Portrait Gallery. That was fabulous. Tim Burton at the Design Museum, which is always a joy to look at anything that Tim does. But at the same time, there was the Barbie exhibition, and I sort of have a soft spot for Barbie the doll. And I have to say, the exhibition I thought was rather wonderful. I much preferred it to the movie. It was, I didn't mind it. I love the styling of the movie, but the exhibition was 2 hours better spent. There was no bad scripting in the exhibition. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's you can't go wrong with that pink, I guess. It just looked so vibrant and it was fun. It was uplifting. And right now in the world, anything that lifts your spirits, take it.
Anything else before I move on to my next
Oh, I
question?
could keep going on. David Hockney at Louis Vuitton in Paris, what I thought was a remarkable achievement for one of Britain's greatest living artists to be doing that at that point in his career. It was really based on just the last quarter of a century of his work, with the first room being a lot of the things when he was starting out in the 60s. But it was pretty spectacular. So it's always fun to see people pulling that off later in their careers for me. As we move into a little later part of our career, it's great to see people that are way ahead of us doing magnificent things.
And forgive me if I don't know this, but is Mr. Hockney still alive?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, very good.
He's obviously getting up there. I'm not sure of his exact age, but I would think he's approaching 90 and still working every day and producing vibrant, fabulous paintings. It's fantastic that he dedicated his life to his work in such an amazing way. When I was younger, I didn't really focus on his things so much. But now, looking back at them, I think he really is one of the most important to have come out of Britain for sure. And his lifetime's work is really just an incredible achievement.
That's lovely. I'll have to. I know who he is. I play a little
Should hope
dumb,
so,
but
Catherine. You should.
I do know who he is. So movie, those all sound fabulous. You know, I always tell you my sister Robin loves her exhibit. She goes into the city by herself frequently and tells me to when there's something amazing she thinks you should see. I don't really go to exhibits much, but what I do share in common with you is seeing a lot of movies, and that. Excuse me, is our next event. What you didn't it didn't have to come out in 2025, but what was the best film you've seen this year? Even if it came out in 1942, who cares?
That's interesting, actually. I hadn't thought about all the old ones because then probably I would wipe off everything new on the list. So I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
As you know, I love the foreign film category when we do our Oscar picks. And I thought that 2025, some of the movies being made in 2024 for sure,
Yeah.
Was one of the best years for a long time. I loved every single movie in that category. All so radically different too. Emilia Perez, such a remarkable idea. And again, you don't get that many unique films anymore, that many unique anything. And that really was truly original. So that was fun to watch. I'm Still Here. Loved that. Seed of the Sacred Fig, the Iranian movie, both terrifying and brave at the same time, great achievement. The Girl with a Needle, loved that, even though it was one of the most depressing things I've ever seen in my life.
I don't think I saw that one.
No, I don't think it was for you, Catherine, but it was beautifully executed in a way that only the Scandinavians are able to do, I have to say. But it was really something. And Flo, the
Oh, yeah.
animated one, that cat, I would adopt that cat anytime. So those were sort of my favorite movies. But then I haven't watched that many that have come out this year yet. As you probably well know, I tend to
Yep.
watch most of the movies in January, February before we to our Oscar cafe. I have seen Frankenstein though, which I really liked. I thought it looked great. I'm a big fan of the book though. And so, sort of any attempt to make a movie of that book, people always try to reinterpret it, obviously. Guillermo del Toro, I'm a massive admirer of his work. I think his things are just super special. And this was good, but a little long for me. And I would have, the last 40 minutes were the closer bits to the book that I remember, and I would have preferred a little more of that.
Oh.
So we'll discuss that more over the coming months, no doubt, but it was very enjoyable to watch. So I'm glad I saw it.
So, Nicholas, what was the best TV show or series you watched this year?
Well, what did I watch? Gosh, I did watch quite a few this year, but I never remember. Everything all blurs for me into what went where. I finally watched Breaking Bad.
Oh my God. The
Yeah,
whole
yeah.
thing?
Oh yeah, the whole thing. Which clearly I understood why people were so obsessed with it and how good it was because the acting, the scripting, I thought was so good. What I couldn't get my head around is, wow, this must have been really difficult waiting for the next series or waiting for even a week to see the next one, whatever. I'm glad I was able to watch them as I wanted to. But love that. Managed to catch up recently with Wednesday. Can't say I love it quite as much as the first series, but there was a couple of them that were really, really great. So the end of the first four, that one, the fourth one, I guess. I thought that one was really, really, really good. But that's always fun to watch. What else did I see? I'm up to date with Stranger Things.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, well, until the 26th of December, I hear, yes.
25th.
Is it? Oh,
And
wow.
then the last one's on New Year's Eve. Tanner's uncontrollably excited.
Again, nice to be in that world. I found it a little hard to assimilate the kids all being that much older.
Yeah, it didn't bother me because I think they aged the year too, like they're in 88 or something now. So it didn't really bother me. I don't know. It didn't bother me. I'm just like, I'm going to be honest. I'm so tired of Elle with her little bloody nose. I'm so tired of poor Winona Ryder like being like, "Oh, don't go there. It's dangerous." It just seems really the same thing over and over. Oh, I need
Well,
something
you'll
to
find out
happen.
soon, Catherine.
Yeah.
24 to go.
Okay, yeah, I need something new to happen. Anything else?
Well, actually, the one that was a surprise to me was Absentia, which it's not the kind of thing I would normally watch, but we started watching it and I got drawn in, and I've watched two of the three series because it was done, I think, pre-COVID, but I hadn't seen it before. And what I loved about it was that you really didn't know where it was going. It was quite unpredictable, which again is unusual. And I thought it was super well scripted. And the actors were all very, very good. And it was a beautifully twisted, dark scenario. But they managed to sustain it really, really well. Great exercise in keeping tension. I think Alfred Hitchcock would have liked it, actually. Very good.
You know what you didn't mention is White Lotus. That was
Oh,
2025,
well,
and you were
yes, of course, I
really
saw
into
that. Yes, I see. I love
that.
White Lotus. I loved it. I didn't absolutely love the last episode, but I loved seeing the series. He's such a great writer again. It's always fun to watch the things that are well written with great characters where crazy, unexpected things happen. And for sure, White Lotus is as good as you get with that.
Seriously. What? Okay, we're going to go on to books. I know they're going to be art books. What was
Books.
the
Well, I have
best?
one in particular.
Okay, what was the best book you read in 2025?
Can't say there's a lot of text in it other than the title, but it's a photographic book, as my favorite books usually are. One day, maybe I'll graduate towards literature, but it's a photographic book. It's a fantastic production. Exquisite, actually, by a Japanese photographer who lives in Paris called Miho Kajioka. And the book is called So It Goes, So It Goes, So It Goes, So It Goes. It's actually the fourth in a series. The first one was just called So It Goes.
Oh.
What can I say about it? There's a sensitivity, a photographic imagery that communicates to me better than most people could ever write text. Miho is a really focused artist with a unique aesthetic, and I love what she does. I have a lot of her books, and once more, she's managed to expand the ideas that were in the original book and make it something new. So I was thrilled to see that.
Could you go to like Barnes and Noble and buy this book, or is it a special order only?
I don't think Barnes and Noble will have it now. No, but I'm sure
Okay.
you can find it. There's lots of places. There's a great gallery called Ibasho, from Antwerp, and they represent her along with several other galleries, I believe.
Have you ever met Miho?
I have, yeah. Yes. And I interviewed her for the documentary that I'm hoping to make a lot of progress, if not complete, during 2026. on the post-war Japanese photography, and I think Miho is so significant from the new younger photographers, meaning of the last 20, 30 years rather than the elder statesman. And I really want to include her.
Okay, Nicholas, I know that you do listen to a lot of music, but I sometimes think you don't know, you don't pay attention to who's singing it. But what was the best music you've heard in 2025?
I listen to a lot of different things. I tend to listen to a lot of chill out things at home, or
Huh.
there's so many great pieces out there that I do not know the names of most of them. But something comes on, I think that's really clever. It's really well done. It's a nice vibe to have in the house. I listen to choral music sometimes.
Really?
Oh yeah, I love choral music. Gothic choral music, nothing quite like it. I listen to a lot of classical music. Sometimes I'm always drawn back to things from when I was a kid, David Bowie, Iggy Pop, Lou Reed, The Velvet Underground. And then I always want to know what's going on and what's new. Of course, I listen to Simon and your radio show. Simon is very good at sending me links to things. Sometimes I find some inspiration in that. It's been fantastic for Simon, I think, to,
Yeah.
yeah, I really feel so, because it keeps him inspired about young artists. It's not something I couldn't delve that far in myself into indie music, which most of it is what I would classify it as. Not that I like classifying any style. But yeah, I guess if I thought about it, I'd probably do the same with electronic music. And so I listen to a lot of that. But for me, I always focus on what was the best pop song of the year. And there usually is only one. And I have to say, I think it was the Lola Young song, Messy.
That made our greatest of the year, which you wouldn't know, actually.
I don't know what anyone else thinks. Obviously, a lot of people thought it was great because it was everywhere. But you know, songs that are everywhere sometimes are for a reason. Just like Get Lucky was everywhere, just like Uptown Funk was everywhere. It's one of those songs, and this was the one. I guess it was Miley's song a few years ago, and was it last year? Years ago?
Oh yeah, the one with Dave, with Mark Ronson.
No, not the one with Mark. Flowers. So Flowers was the best song of 2023. This year, it's Lola's song, Messy.
Yeah. Excellent. I just have a lot of time for that song Messy because I think it really addresses the fallibility of being human, being messy.
Yeah.
Really messy. Don't you think?
It's just such a catchy melody and an irresistible groove.
Yeah. Go, girl. I like her. I have a lot of time for her. Anyway, my next question for you, Nicholas, is I'm just going to preface this by saying you all pick the same thing. Let's see if you're different. I don't think you will be. What was your best Duran Duran moment of 2025?
Oh, well, that's not going to be a surprise, is it, if I pick Halloween?
That's what everybody
Halloween's
else
always
picks.
my favorite, whether we're playing a show or not, though. It's a bit of a loaded question, Catherine. Yes,
I
Halloween, in
apologize.
that it was really quite spectacular this time. I was allowed to have fireworks, gunpowder, well, not really, but I was allowed to have explosions and fire. So that actually made it a bit more fun for me, I have to confess. We worked with a great team on the whole thing. It was fun to bring it to Manchester, to bring it to the UK, because, as you know, we've only done two previous ones, both in America. I don't know where we'll go next year. We'll have to see. But yeah, it just all came together very well. And although it's so abstract to me that we put so much work into just one show a year, it's a complete madness because it can only be on that day and that's it. But at the same time, it's so much fun for us to focus on making this crazy one-off night that everybody just rises to the occasion. And I have to say, it was great. There's a lot of other Duran moments, though, this year that were amazing, too. Let's not forget we did a European tour, which one of my highlights from that was actually John Taylor's birthday in Milan.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was actually watching however many tens of thousands of them were there that singing Happy Birthday. It was really kind of special. And I was so pleased for John, and Gila brought him a cake on stage. And actually, there is something really great about playing on your birthday. I remember many years ago we played in Verona. It was pouring with rain on my birthday. I don't know why, in June, but that was special too. It's so I was very happy that night for Johnny, and I thought the audience were amazing.
Where were you on your birthday this year? You were on tour, but you didn't play.
We were in Antwerp, which was really
Antwerp.
nice, actually. The Antwerp show was good too. Simon had a bit of a cold, and so unfortunately his voice was at about a 7 out of 10, which is still pretty good. But we were worried that we were going to have to cancel shows. He managed to throw it off within 48 hours, fortunately.
Nice.
But yeah,
I
it.
would like some advice on that, how to throw off my cold in
Yeah,
48 hours.
he seems very good at that. We rarely cancelled. Obviously, occasionally things go, but yeah, something you try not to do. But there was loads of good shows, and then later in the year we played Paris because we couldn't fit it in on the tour, and we all just said, "This is insane. We haven't played Paris for more than 15 years," and so I was really, really happy to be there. And that was one of the best Duran shows of the year.
Paris.
People say, oh, Parisian audiences, no, they're really difficult. They were crazy and as great as an audience anywhere we could have ever been. I saw lots of my friends there. I love Paris. I used to live there for several years, and I have such fond memories of the city and the people there.
Do you know,
Yeah.
I just learned that about you this year, that you lived there for several years. I thought you just went there to make like an album and came
Oh,
home,
I
but
lived there
no.
really from about 1985 to 1990, and
Goodness me.
never loved walking through a city more. Yeah, it's so beautiful, Paris. It's hard to forget how beautiful it is, but every time I go back there, I think, no, it's more beautiful than I ever remembered.
I love that for you. Okay, so any other shows that are, I mean, those are
Well,
enough. I just
Duran
don't want to
moments.
cut you off.
The perfume launch, lest we not forget that. The
Oh,
Surjoff perfume launch was
John
really,
mentioned that too.
well, it was really great.
That was an immersive experience. Is that
Yeah,
what
we
you
did it in
call
London.
that?
I'd like to do more immersive stuff, but this was a small event where we didn't have too many people, so it was easier to do. But we did it with Lost in London.
Yeah.
And actually, again, one of those bespoke one-off events. And that sort of makes things special sometimes. But this one, I kind of feel we could develop. But I was really, really happy to work with Sergioff on the fragrance because they were true collaborators. They wanted us to be properly involved, and Simon and I got completely involved in it, immersed even. And it was a cool process to go through to understand what goes into making perfume. And Sergio Momo, who's it's his company, is really the best guide you could ever ask for to take you through it. And he was so generous with us and patient whilst we learned what needed to be done. And I was astonished at how much work goes into making a perfume, because you just take it for granted, don't you? You see it on a shelf in a nice box and you think, oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, I'll buy that for a gift for someone. But what goes into putting it in that box and designing that box and every single element in the perfume and the bottle and the stopper and how the whole thing is pieced together from all these different cities was quite unexpected and great too. So that event in London was another highlight, big highlight. Loved it. And whilst we don't do a lot of products, things outside of music, everybody in the band loves fragrance, and this we felt was very much something that we were at home with, we felt comfortable with. And so really happy we did it.
It looked amazing. And what a treat that everyone who went through got a photo taken by you. I mean, that's really,
Well, that was
I
the easy
do have a
part.
photo taken by you, but
Was the easy
that's
part. I've still not
really.
seen the lyrics Simon was writing in the room that he was sitting in writing lyrics whilst everyone was walking in there and watching. So I want to see. I just hope it doesn't all say all work and no play. Makes
Makes
Simon a
Charlie a
dull
hit.
boy. Yeah.
Well, Nicholas, I know how busy you've been, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time, but I think this is a really good question to ask you because you are frequently the most busy member of Duran Duran. So, what are you looking forward to most in 2026? Of course, it doesn't have to be about Duran Duran, but I'm just asking.
Well, I always look forward to just getting out there and seeing what life can bring, Catherine, because if you lose your curiosity, then I think you're sunk. If you start to think there is nothing good out there, I think that's a bad attitude. There's a lot of awful things in the world, and I hope that next year brings more peace, happiness, stability in the world generally. With Duran Duran, well, we've got lots of exciting things coming up. There's several projects that are just coming along slowly that I can't talk about yet, but then we've got a single coming out next year, one we did with Nile Rodgers that we're super excited about. And we're filming the video for that in January with Jonas Ekelund again, and I'm super super pleased about that. And I keep saying super so many super times,
It's
but that's fine. I quite
awesome.
like the word super. It feels very 1970s to me. Everything was super. What else next year? Well, we're going to play some shows. We haven't really mapped it out yet, but we're going to play some shows. We know already we've got the shows in California, well, on the West Coast in early January. So that's always fun. It'll be nice to be there for a little while and start the year by playing. Then we're going to try and finish the Reportage album, which
That was All your bandmates, most looking forward to. Each one of them said
Really?
reportage.
Well, I don't have much to do because honestly, my parts
Yep.
were so good in the first place. I don't really need to change much. I mean, joking aside, it's in pretty decent shape. It's really a few things that Simon's got to do more than anyone else, which I think he'll get his head around. He seems excited by it. So yeah, that's going to happen. And well, the rest of it is just let's wait and see, isn't it? It's one of those things. It's been a strange year this year. For me, it was also marked by a couple of really sad things. I lost two of my dear friends, Pam Hogg, fantastic fashion designer and friend for many years, and Anthony Price, one of my dearest friends, who also was a magnificent fashion designer and a huge inspiration to me and to Duran Duran.
Yep.
And I went to see his last fashion show, which was in November this year, so only weeks ago. And I was so glad at his age, again, point in life, that he made something so beautiful and special. And he got a standing ovation from the entire audience at this fashion show. And he was on such good form. So I was completely shocked and devastated that he passed away just a few weeks later. And that was really sad to me. And it just shows you how fragile life is. Last time I saw him, we went to another fantastic event, which was the Royal Observatory's 350th anniversary here in London. And I have to say, it's probably the most glamorous thing I've been to in many, many years. They had these huge chandeliers high up in the gods above the room. That were all lit with real candles
Oh boy.
and made me just think, yep, life sometimes can be really beautiful and precious as well as so awful. And so next year, I'm hoping I see a lot more candles, but that I don't have the sorrow and sadness of close friends disappearing. Obviously, it happens to everyone. We all have to go through this in life, but none of us like it when it happens.
No, but it also shows how close the friendship was and how much joy they brought into your life. So it's a good trade. I mean, it's a hard trade, but it's a good trade.
Yeah, well, I think in life for everyone, every single one of us, the most important thing is the people that you surround yourself with. And I'm lucky.
Nicholas, thank you so much for coming into the cafe. You are a delight, as always. I always learn something when I speak to you and John. No diss to Simon and Roger, but I always learn something new and I appreciate that. I want to wish you on behalf of the whole VIP fan community, you and your family, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all good things and a wonderful 2026. I know I'll speak to you, but I'm just saying, I wish you all of those things.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. And of course, I wish all of our fan community and everyone else, actually, too, a very happy holiday period, whatever you celebrate. I celebrate usually Christmas being over.
Nicholas.
It just means that all that stuff's done. It's whatever you celebrate, it's not the relevant thing. It's all the preparation for it, isn't it? That we all go through. And then you think, well, that was just a day, and now it's gone already. But But yes, I am more than that. I wish everyone a fantastic, hopeful 2026, and let's see how it unfolds. But really, with peace and happiness, and understanding, kindness, and patience would be my preference.